We right here with Nocturnal. You know, it's been a few years since we heard from you, Noct, so to start it off. How you doing, man?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. Glad to talk to you, man, because, you know, at one point, you were considered, you know, the most anticipated West Coast artist coming out. And then little by little, you know, it seemed like everything was going wrong. How do you feel looking back at the early 2000s?
I feel like I was dragging and smoking too much. Wasn't worried about business, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you know, I was too busy having fun instead of just, you know, thinking about to live for my family, you know?
Right.
And that's a mistake you make sometimes when you're young, but I'm a little older now. I believe I can bounce back. And, you know, if I made good music before, you know, I'm on my way to trying to be legendary, so I'm not going to give up, you know what I mean?
So, what exactly happened over at Elektra Records? I mean, what was going on over there?
Elektra Records was owned by an organization called WEA. And it was Warner Brothers, Interscope, you know, Warner Brothers, Atlantic, and Elektra, WEA. Time Warner owned that company. Time Warner sold Elektra to Lee Orr. That was formerly from Def Jam.
Right.
You hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
And they fired 400 people in the rap department. And the people that they fired, which is Sylvia Rome, she's one of the chairwomen for Universal now, and she's also the CEO to Motown. And then Jay Brown, he's over there at Def Jam Records. They signed my deal when I was back with LA Compton and dealing with Drake, so. It just, you know, it seems that I'm always caught up in somebody's politics, but I just keep pushing forward.
Right. So, you know, who made the decision to drop that Knox Landing EP at the time instead of the LP, and why?
Well, it was a situation where I kind of got bootlegged more than Cable in the Hood. This is back maybe in 2001?
Yeah.
2002. And, the thing was, we needed to regroup and try to get a budget with some songs that weren't being bootlegged to do the EP so that we could come back with an LP, which is the way I am. And it took a while, and it took a little bit of planning, but I believe it came out okay. But then, once again, once the stuff came out and the way I am, you know, the way I am sold out in L.A. within 4 hours at Tower Records on Sunset. I had a poster up there and everything, you know, for promotions. And it sold out. But being that Lee Orr fired everybody, it kind of downplayed my album because people were calling to get more issues and there was nobody to order them from.
Right.
Like I said, he fired 400 people in the rap department. So, like, who are you going to call to get more orders from?
Right.
Anybody there is new. I don't know anybody there after that he hired.
Okay.
It's strictly in the rap division only, is all I'm saying. I'm not saying he didn't come in and clean the house and did what he felt was best for the company. All I'm saying is that my album came out in the middle of someone else's politics.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I feel you. Because, I mean, you had a crazy record, like the bootlegs that, you know, got leaked to the internet and stuff like that. It was some crazy records on there. You know, do you know how that got leaked or why it got leaked?
No, I don't know how it got leaked, but, you know, you gotta take the good with the bad. You know what I'm saying? You can't just say, you know, if you get bootleg, you can't just say, oh, well, that's a bad thing, because if they didn't like your music, then they wouldn't bootleg you, of course.
Right.
You still wouldn't buy your music, you know what I mean? So you gotta take the good with the bad, is what I'm saying about bootleg. It's exactly what it is. I know that I will buy a bootleg for a movie or something, and it'll probably be poor quality or whatever, but if I feel like that movie is worth going to buy when it comes out on DVD for $9.99 or whatever, I'll go buy it because it's a movie worth having.
Right.
Then I get the director's cut and everything else.
And, you know, you were a part of one of hip-hop's greatest albums of all time, 2001. Can't tell us some of your memories from the, you know, from the recording of that album?
My biggest memory is, man, you know, like, it's just a big family ordeal to the point to where, like, you know, I'm glad that Nate Dogg is all right, but, you know, that's somebody I grew up with, Warren G, Nate Dogg, Snoop Dogg. You know, Warren G, they're all great people. Nate Dogg, he's a great person, but he recently had a stroke.
Yeah, I heard, man.
All into recovery to him, you know, I am a person that, you know, tries to live kind of stress-free as I can, you know, and I know that I've disappointed my fans in the way to where I haven't been out and going on 4 years. It'll be, you know, April 23, 2008, it'll be 4 years that I haven't released the album to the public. So I do feel like, you know, I need to get back on where fans know me to be. But you know what, I did it all for family and trying to keep things together, because of one thing for sure is, when I learned from Dr. Dre, I learned one thing for sure. You gotta take care of family. You gotta take care of home, or else you're not gonna have the future. You hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
It was times that I wasn't at home for maybe 10 months out the year, and I'm paying for something I never see. But right. My family is there. I don't even get to enjoy that. You hear me?
Yeah, I feel you.
So, I mean, you know, it's kind of like a preacher being a preacher, but then he don't have his home life together. You can't be a narrator to the streets for the West Coast if you ain't got your own self together. So I had to get myself together. You know, that's why I'm able to take these interviews. I had a real bad and sick alcohol problem. You know what I mean? Of course, everybody know that.
So right.
I ain't got to hide from that fact. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we're going to get to that a little bit later.
Yeah, but it's okay, though. You know what I mean? I battled that. So,
okay. And, you know, after the record got bootlegged and it kept getting pushed back, and then, you know, the album came out late, what did you do after that?
After the album got bootlegged and pushed back, I did a song with Too Short. I did, you know, as well as after the Crime 2001, I did the Washed On track. I just released 5 songs on the EP to where I felt like we could at least re-budgetize, to where we could go back and at least break even with the budget, to where I could make another album that the fans would actually enjoy.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you know, then you had kind of disappeared for a while, and then that Return of the Hustler album surfaced. What was up with that cover?
That was some bootleg shit I had nothing to do with that.
Cause
I made a trust on that, because I would like to let my public and my fans know that, you know, I would never make some music with that quality.
Right.
And, you know, it was something that was fraudulent. I can't be mad about it. I can't, you know, glorify it or anything, but it was just somebody that saw an opportunity to fuck me over, because I do have a name for myself. So that was an album that I really didn't have anything to do with. It tried to act like it was my album, but if you listen to it,
you only like 4 songs or something.
What I'm saying to you is that I came to Texas and I moved out here and I was trying to do something to somebody, and they fraudulently released this music.
Right. Yeah. That was crazy, because you had that picture with the horrible quality with the NASCAR background, and that was like, wow.
What I'm saying is, come on now. If you look at my reputation in the music and the way that I come out, I've only came out with an EP and an LP. I've come out on The Wash. I've come out on Crime 2001. I was on Let's All Roll that brought the West Side Connection back.
Yeah.
I've done some stuff with Quick. I've done some stuff with Missy Elliott. I mean, if you look at the character of person that I am, you should know that is not an album that I would release.
Yeah, that's why it had people tripping out, because it was like, wow. You know what I mean?
It's okay. Well, I can't you know, really dwell on it. I'm in the process, of course, of just trying to be corporate and take the corporate approach to it instead of the street approach. You know what I mean?
Right.
Only because I've grown up a little bit. One thing for sure is that they've sold music in Japan and all that stuff. They had a good fraudulent thing going on, but, you know, I own their company soon.
And
that's not a joke.
Okay. And, you know, after that, you appeared on Jay Wells' Digital Smoke album this year on the song Got Me Going. Tell us about that song.
Indeed, that's a song that me and Jay Wells did a while back, and he's just a good individual. And like I've always told him, man, I just like doing music. I always, you know, the blessing was I was found, you know, Dr. Dre, he dropped specifically in my lap to where I just had to go up there and say that I rap, and, you know, I kind of had it in a little bit. So anytime I get around other people like Jay Wells, you know, there's an artist out here called Big Time, you know, with Equity Records. I'm starting a label, you know, and I'm doing other things. We got Treacherous Records that's going on with different things. My whole thing is, as many people as I could bring to the table, I got blessed to be here. Why the hell I wouldn't want to help somebody else be here?
Right.
You know? I mean, I know to you it might sound like I'm talking in circles, but I got a million things on my mind.
It's all good. We're going to get to everything.
Yeah, the million things is I got a lot of shit to do. I'm not done yet.
Right.
Just so I could become a legend. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Everybody knows that I got on through Dr. Dre. Everybody knows that that's what I came about. Okay, now it's my turn to prove the proof is in the pudding. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But ain't nothing soft about me, is all I'm saying. Be all right. Okay, people fuck me over this and this and that, but what you want me to do, go to jail and lay everybody down? Be here for my family and be a real man. You know what I mean?
Yep. And what happened to L.A. Confidential? Does that group still exist?
Honestly, I have no qualms with them. They the one, Big D, he helped me, you know, go to Dr. Dre and meet Dr. Dre. He got me from Mark Sparks, you know what I mean? And that was a whole little political thing. And, you know, he actually, you know, bought me from Mark Sparks. I ain't gonna lie about it. And the thing is, I went to Dre and D wanted to start LA Confidential. It was a good vision, but I just feel like it was time to move on, especially if, you know, I can't receive everything that I want or everything that I need when I'm holding this foundation together. It's just time to, you know, sporadically grow up. You know, sometimes you grow faster than other people expect you to. And that's the only situation with that. It's not a bad situation with me and him. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's not like I have to have a problem with David Manfield. It's not a problem with me, you know. The only thing is, if he called me today and asked me to do a song, I still would do it. But, you know, the thing is, he didn't expect me to grow as fast as I did. It's only because that I'm a studio rat and I'm a good person, and I try to treat everybody fairly regardless to my situation, is that I still come out like this.
Right. Do you still keep in touch with Time Bomb, Slip Capone, though?
I wish that they would call me. I really do, because I don't have no problem with doing a song with them or not.
And you said you moved to Texas, right?
Mm-hmm.
And did you get a chance to hook back up with, you know, 6-2 and, you know, DOC's people down there?
Briefly, but, you know, they're not the type of people that, you know, wants to come out all the time. And when I came to Texas, it was mainly for a purpose of trying to build a whole other situation as far as Equity Records is concerned. I mean, it wasn't for prior connections until the connections are needed. I'm not mad about trying to connect with somebody, but you know what? I have to have my business together before I even try to enter somebody else into it.
Okay.
I can't just say, oh, well, come on, let's go do this one. I don't know where this is going to lead them or me. I need to make sure everything was right, solidified.
And, you know, as you mentioned, you know, there was a lot of talk about your alcohol problems and that you were in rehab and all that. Do you want to clear all that up so people, you know, can hear the real deal out your mouth?
Well, the real deal is, yeah, I have an alcohol problem. I always have it. When I said drinking, smoking, straight West Coast, I meant that. I mean, that's what people love me for. You know? I said it was super ugly. I never said it was nice. I mean, but my point beyond that is to clear it up, is to say that, you know, sometimes people get older and they try to rectify situations in their past that they don't like about themselves. So of course, I might drink on the weekend. Or yeah, if you buy me a drink, I'm going to drink with you. But I'm not going to sit there and just keep drinking day in and day out. Or smoking day in and day out. It's not what business is about. And the only way I can rectify that is just being able to say, not right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if people take me like I'm a punk because of that, then I just have to deal with that. But it doesn't mean any disrespect to anyone. You know what I mean?
I feel you. I mean, you got to do, you know, what's best for yourself. You feel me?
If you want to buy me a $6 drink, buy me some Caligo, filter water or something, and I'll drink with you while you're drinking your tonic and gin or something.
That's cool.
I'm battling something that's a disease, big dog. You hear me?
Yeah.
You know, you pray for, health. So, you got to look at from the ancestors that came before you. You got Joy and everybody else. They battling for health. So me being the age that I am right now, knowing that I'm at least a decade less than they are, what I do have to do is tell myself that my children are worth living, for me to live, so they don't have to go through the pain of not having me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay, I feel that. And so Knock is back, and you're working on your new album right now. I think it's called Book of Knock. Is that correct?
Yes, the Book of Knock.
So
this is just a character of, you gotta understand, my name is Roy Awoshi Muhammad. That's me. Nocturnal is a character that I created for myself so that I could be a street narrator and tell you what's going on in California streets. And I dedicated myself to just being a narrator to what's going on in California and, different issues that we touch on with, people that come OT out of town and different things. And basically, if you ever notice, people might diss or whatever, but I don't ever do diss songs about anyone. You hear me?
Yeah.
I've been here for like 8, going on 9 years professionally, 4 or 5 years. Before that, and I don't get caught up in different people. I just want to make good music, and that's what's really important to me, so that I don't ever have somebody come and vandalize in my house or nothing like that, because I ain't, instead of me dissing you, I'd rather ring your doorbell.
Right.
Ding dong, send this shit on this 45 volume microphone, please. because I don't understand what you were saying in that song that I heard on the radio.
Right.
It don't make sense. I'm not sitting there running around acting crazy with people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's try to make music. That's it.
Yep.
Some people like it, some people don't. But then I still go back to the drawing board and still try to make everybody's life relevant to what's going on. So, with the Book of Knock, it's going to be great. And then I got, like I said, the Cool Mathematics and stuff with Equity Records. And then I got Big Time, Knowledge, and Ripper. They're all solo artists. They got their stuff coming out. And it's like, it's going to be a good movement. Instead of just me coming out saying, hey, here I am again, it's going to, really be like, hey, this is why I was in the back cave. I needed to go and get some people that can, actually deal with music with me, and they got their own personality, and they all worthy of being solo artists. So, I'm going to come back with a camp, and hopefully the world will love it.
So, what's your label situation right now? Are you signed to Treacherous Records?
My label situation is one thing. Treacherous, I was signed to them for so long, and they've done a lot of things, and I'm not saying anything bad about them, but where focus comes into play is, I was with them for 3 or 4 years. They've never put my album out. My situation, I was supposed to come, and I was supposed to just give them my album. This is maybe 3.5 years ago, and they were supposed to release it. About 3.5 years later, I built a camp with Equity Records, and Treacherous Records, like I said, I have nothing bad to say about them, but all I want to happen is for, like I said, Tico, he's a great dude. Everybody, I don't want a bad situation to ever happen. I'm not a bad person, but what I want to happen is I want people to do what they say they're going to do. Now, I got Mr. Cox with Equity Records, and what he's willing to do is, he's like, come on, let's do this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, if you do the math, if you sit here and you think to yourself, you got somebody that you've been signed to for a long time, and then you turn around and then somebody's saying, come on. Of course, sometimes it might be confusing, but the reality of it is exactly what it is. I have to do this thing with Equity Records. I'm already in the bed with it. But you know what? Treacherous Records has never done anything to me to where I feel a sour taste in my mouth except for not putting my album out.
Right.
I'm pretty sure the fans can understand that.
Yeah. I mean, everybody.
Treacherous Records is not a bad record label to me.
Right.
You hear me?
Yeah, I feel you.
It's other people that were there before me, so they're just keeping it true. But that's not my concern when I know that the fans know that they want me to give them what I can give them.
Right.
You know? And with Equity Records right now, I have the freedom to do what I need to do. I got, like I said, the Mathematics, Big Time's album, his project is almost done. His father, Rich Koch, is just finished. Like mastering a lot of the stuff. We gonna build the stuff out here in the DFW area, the Fort from Dallas Fort Worth area, and it's gonna be okay. But it's all within stipulations. It doesn't mean that I'm, you know, trying to be a dumbass and play both sides of the fence. The whole point it means is that I'm not gonna continue to sit here and not do nothing about this situation when I can very well be a legend and have a star in Hollywood.
Yeah.
What is the point of being here if somebody want to keep me on the shelf?
I feel you.
Am I a shelf artist to you?
Nope.
Do I belong on the shelf?
I don't think so.
So don't you think that I would rather dust my shoulders off and go on and stop being on the shelf?
I think you should do whatever you gotta do to get a record out.
Well, I think the fans would like me for it.
Definitely.
I mean... You know, I know that Equity Records can be a certified company. I know the Treacherous Records can do whatever they want to do, but the whole point being is that the Booker Knock is inevitable. It's going to come out regardless. But I know that I got Big Time. I know the people that are behind me. I know I got Big Time. You know, I got Knowledge. I got Ribica. I got some people behind me that is just saying, do what you do, Knock. Then I got some other people that, you know, they have their own agendas. And it's no disrespect to anybody. You hear me?
Yes.
It's
so this Equity Records is an independent company, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, are you gonna look for a major distribution or something like that?
Of course. We've had deals that we've actually turned down from a couple different people. I don't want to name their names, only because we weren't ready. But I feel like we're more ready now. 2008 is going to be a great year.
So what can the fans expect from Book of Knock? Like, how would you say your music has changed since, you know, we last heard from you?
Well, I would say I gave everybody my heart and soul and my talent the last time, to where I made better songs for a lot of your West Coast artists that I didn't even make for myself. And now this time, I got back to recreating myself. Like when I did Night and Day,
yeah.
Come play what gangsters did. That was some genuine nocturnal stuff. I got back to the art of who I really am. You hear me?
Yeah.
It's a street narrator is what I'm saying.
So which features can we expect on the album or producers?
We got Big Time from Equity Records. We got the Mathematics on there. Of course, I've done a couple things with Dre. I got a song called Pentagon that I'm working on getting Dr. Dre with. And like I said, shout out to Nate Dogg because I was trying to get him on this one song. He had a mishap, but I got a lot of love for him, so I'll wait till whenever he can do what he can do, and he's still going to be on the album. I mean,
yeah.
It's just a situation where there's a good, fun vibe with this album. That's why I called it the Book of Night. You hear me?
Yeah. So you said you got... Go ahead.
I was saying that this is not something that you just shake a stick at and be like, oh, it's just another West Coast album. This is a fun vibe. You know what I mean? It's the recreation of Nocturnal. And I know that people appreciate it because you hear, you know, a lot of your favorite rappers that rap stuff that I wrote.
Right.
So I know that I can bring you music that you want. Just give me a chance. It'll be okay.
So you said you got Dr. Dre on there. Are these things that you recorded with him recently or leftover records?
It's recent music. Like I told you, I had to recreate myself.
Right. So what's the relationship between you and Dr. Dre right now?
Everything is the same between me and Dr. Dre. The only thing he doesn't like is he takes very seriously the fact that he's trying to do a detox album. He doesn't, you know, want alcohol or, you know, drinking or smoking and stuff like that around him. He just wants to do music and do business. So, you know, that was an issue with me and him for a little bit. But, you know, I respect him and love him enough to not bring it around him.
Right. So you got him on the album on the beats, or you got him on the album rapping too?
Yeah, on the beats.
Okay. What other producers you got on there?
DJ Quick, I got Complex. I got J Beam. Got a guy named Dez. I got some of my own production.
Okay, sounds like a hot lineup. I mean, that, what was it called? The song you had with Quick? Some With Love?
Huh?
You had a record with Quick on your last album, Some With Love. Love.
It's called Love Slave.
Yeah, that was.
Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, that was a crazy record. I remember that one. How the new one sound?
Quick always does his job. You can't never ask for more. You go in there with Quick and just understand that you're in for a thrill.
That's true. And you know, I think that Battle Cat gave you some of your, you know, best production on the old record that you had. Did you hook back up with Cat?
I've seen Cat when I did a show at Anaheim in Anaheim Palm, and House of Blues. And he was there, actually talked to me about some of the songs that I use and asked me if I was going to use them. And he said he had no problem with giving me the belief, so that's also in the making. But those are a little older songs. I don't know if I want to give the public that rather than try to put them on a mixtape or something like that. But disrespect the Cat, because I just want to create one vibe for one album. You know what I mean?
I feel you, definitely. I don't think it would be right to put songs from 3-4 years ago on a new album.
Yeah, that would be wrong to the public. You know what I mean? So,
right.
There's no disrespect to anyone. Like, I'm answering your questions as honest as I can.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't want to sugarcoat nothing or make something seem like it's not. I know that with the camp that I got going on right now, I don't feel like that Nocturne Music is going to fail. And I believe that at the end of the day, I will have a star in Hollywood. So I'm going to keep pushing.
And you had a good relationship with Warren G. Do you still keep in touch with him?
Yeah, Warren is a good dude. That's someone that, like, you know, he's like Dr. Dre. You know, when people say, hey, well, how much did he charge you? How much did he charge you? You know, Warren G ain't never charged me for a beat. Neither Dr. Dre, neither a couple other people. All I do is just go in there and do what I need to do. And as long as, and you know, they don't have to do this for me. As long as I go in there and do what I need to do, and don't be, you know, being all brash, you need to give me this and you need to give me that, then they don't care about charging me for a beat. They'll give me a beat. It's out of love, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But people don't understand that. They go in there trying to be all cocky and shit, and, you know, they end up being out of a couple $1 million, and they ain't even putting no music out. This is not what this game is about.
I feel you. What about DaMizza and Baby Ree? You still keep in touch with them?
I haven't talked to him for a while, but there's no harm done, no harm felt. If they call me after you get out the phone, I wouldn't be mad at them. Just see what they're doing. Like I said, we was friends before we were anything else.
Right.
We went and hung out. You know what I mean? Like, this is how you do business with people. You gotta be their friend first.
I feel you. So that sounds like a good record, man. When do you think we could expect it to drop?
Well, I don't have a specific date yet, but like I said, there's a couple things in the works, but I'm trying to get it out by this summer so that people have something to ride to. You know what I mean?
Okay, and how would you say the game has evolved and changed in the last few years?
4 years, I haven't had an album. So, you know, if they were in the ninth grade, they probably graduated now. So it's a whole different ballgame for me to try to recreate myself. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's a different rhythm. It's a different everything that they bounce to. It's not like the same thing when I was coming up in the game or whatever. So one thing I did have to do is try to give them a different beat and a different tone, but I didn't go corny with it. I didn't change my style to where it just sounded like I'm trying to be like the youngster that they like. I just wanted to be myself and still give them something that they wouldn't mind listening to.
Okay. Are you surprised that Detox still hasn't been released?
I can say yeah, but I'm surprised that I didn't put out another album yet either, so I can't be mad at either or. It takes a long time for perfection, you know what I mean?
Right.
You don't want to come out to your fans. You want to keep, you know what the art of this game is? You keep the fans that you have and try to build more. So you don't want to disappoint your fans over trying to try something new. What you want to do is elevate yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And unless you can do that, you definitely don't need to embarrass yourself. You have all these artists coming out with songs back to back to back, and how many times is it after about a year or two you get tired of them and don't even want to hear them no more? You calling me and talking to me right now, and I ain't released no music in 4 years.
Yep.
Because when it was the time where I had music out and it was good music. Okay, well, here I come again with good music.
I feel you.
At least I took my time, right?
Right.
Didn't get no bullshit. Here I come with some good shit. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
I got you.
And what would you say is your personal favorite track that you've ever been on in your career, and why?
I would say Missy Elliott and Dr. Dre, a song called The Knock.
Yeah, I remember that. The video, he was playing all the different characters.
It challenged me so much to where, like, that was fun. You know what I mean? I got a slight case of ADHD, so me having to do all that stuff within a 2-day window frame was kind of fun. And I had to play all those different people, and, you know, the waiter, the busboy, everybody in the bar. That was fun.
Okay. And, you know, before we get out of here, is there anything else that you'd like to let everybody know?
Just that I appreciate their patience, and I'll be back with the Book of Knock, and it'll be all right. Just, you know, continue being nocturnal fans and understand that I ain't going to give you no bullshit.